Good afternoon, I'm Linda Dow. October is Mental Health Month, and today we're focusing on the well-being of our children and youth. Katie Torreson is a counselor with Open Doors for Lanark Children and Youth, and it's a pleasure to welcome her. Hi, Katie.
Hello.
How are you today?
I am well, thank you. How are you doing?
Very well, thanks. What is the purpose of Open Doors, and how does it function in helping today's youth?
Yes, so Open Doors is a nonprofit mental health organization, and we work with children and youth and their families aged 0 to 18, and we provide a whole variety of services. Most people know us best, I think, for our counseling services. So we have counselors who work directly with our youth and with children. We also have those who specialize in working with the families, even providing in-home services. And we also do have counseling services available just for parents, so we can do some skill building, working on parenting strategies and things like that. So that's how we're, I think, best known, and the brunt of our referrals are people seeking those counseling and therapeutic services. But we do provide a lot of others as well. We run various groups, for example, that focus on specific mental health problems and issues. We run things like anxiety groups to help, youth who are specifically dealing with that. And we also run some like peer support groups. So we have peer-to-peer and youth engagement and an LGBTQ group as well. Pretty much any mental health topic you can think of, we have probably run it in some form of a group. And we try to offer those regularly.
Now, you are a registered psychotherapist, right?
Yes, I am.
I'm just wondering, how are the others on your staff trained?
Good question. So because we have such a variety of services, we have many people with different specializations and different degrees and backgrounds based on what their role is within the agency. So being a counselor, I, as you mentioned, am a registered psychotherapist. I have others who do the counseling role alongside me who have backgrounds in social work. They're registered social workers. We have children and youth counselors, so CYCs, children and youth workers, CYWs. So it really runs the gamut depending, of course, on, as I said, our areas of specialization and the roles that we take on within the agency.
Katie, how visible are you in Lanark County? And I'm just wondering how frequently your services are requested.
Well, I'd say that we definitely are very visible. At least, we try our best to be. I think something people maybe don't realize, and this is something that, as we get more into the age of technology and really trying to put ourselves out there on social media and make ourselves very well known, not everyone realizes that outside of our office locations, of which we have three, we're in Carlton Place, Perth, and Smiths Falls, we also have counselors who are regularly inside all the local area high schools, so they rotate through there and they are available to students who need to just, in that moment walk in and have an appointment. We have a location at the Almont General Hospital where there's a counselor available. So, we're quite spread out within the community, and we really try to engage as much as we can with our community partners. Different times of year, I would say we are certainly much more requested than others. Fall, for example, tends to be a very busy referral time, which makes sense. Back to school, routines are all changing. All of the, issues that can come up from school are often, really fully being realized by October. And this year in particular has been very unique in that it's one of the first full, school year, regular, I guess you could call school years back, mm-hmm. After all of the restrictions and all of the changes in everyone's world that came about due to COVID-19.
So what are you finding is the biggest mental health challenge that youth are facing today, would you say?
Well, I think that I personally, in my work, I see a lot of anxiety and a lot of depression. And I mean, those are, those can be symptomatic of so many different issues. Mm-hmm. I will say, like, children and youth are are so aware. They have so much understanding and awareness of mental health issues, more so than, you know, even my generation. We didn't really know what we could access or what we were able to use. And sometimes I find that because there's so much more awareness, it maybe feels like, you know, youth are struggling way more than anyone was previously. And from my perspective, I think it's more that they just are able to voice that a lot more readily than we were ever able to. And, you know, they face a lot of the typical pressures that come with, you know, being a kid, being an adolescent, you know, a lot of stuff to do with school and social factors. But right now, children and youth alike are, and their families as well, are really dealing with what it's been like to kind of go full force back into, you know, quote-unquote regular life, whatever that really means now,
right.
After 2 years of such a big difference and such a big change and a very big separation from a lot that they knew and a huge amount of slowdown, right?
Yes.
Everything got very slow in the pandemic.
You know, Katie, I'm just wondering, has the digital age changed things for kids? I mean, you know, are they spending a lot of time online and they know so much now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because the world is at their doorstep now,
mm-hmm.
with learning online. And I'm just, you know, wondering whether that has an effect on kids, do you think?
Yeah, you know what? I think it does. And I think that, you know, one thing that can happen when we look at technology is, especially if it's technology that, you know, we're not as well versed in or used to, there can be a lot of fear that gets generated around youth and their use of technology. I will say, kind of as a disclaimer, that I think in a lot of ways it can be very helpful, right? And kids are really resilient and resourceful, I find, when it comes to technology. I taught very briefly when I was getting my degrees. I did my teacher's college, and I was blown away by the way that youth would access technology and use it to complete their work in really resourceful ways.
Yes. You know, it's
right.
Kind of a two-edged sword, isn't it?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Because the flip side is that, yes, they have access to so much. So obviously, with aside from the safety risks that can pose for, you know, being a lot more exposed to, you know, people that they shouldn't be online and things like that, they also just know, they're so constantly aware, right? Technology and the age of digital media makes us so constantly aware of everything that's going on in the world. And
right.
While it can be good to be on top of those things, it can also be incredibly overwhelming. And the youth I work with today, I find, have a lot more awareness and much more fear and anxiety about the state of the world. And often that falls into a hopelessness, right? Because they're kids and they're seeing all that's
yes.
going on. And they're like, whoa,
yeah.
what's going to happen to me in my future? And that's very scary.
Right. Kind of like a hyper-awareness.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right. Let's talk a bit about your services that you offer now. I know that you mentioned them at the top of the interview, but could
yeah.
you go over those again? You've got some in the office, some at home, and some at school, you said.
Yes. So right now, our agency, part of what we did as a result of and kind of response to the pandemic is we work a hybrid model of work. So we are all working in office and at home at different times. Fridays, we are fully virtual. So we do a lot of our virtual sessions and we can reach clients by Teams, by phone call, all that kind of thing. Every other day, so Monday to Thursday, we offer, you know, sessions in-person services in our offices. We see clients out in the community. We have counselors who are at all of our high schools and see youth there. We can visit clients in home for some of our roles. So our family resource team especially will often do some in-home work with families. So those are our counseling services that we offer in a lot of different ways. And as I mentioned, we also run groups and other, you know, other mm-hmm. mental health interventions, which can honestly, in a lot of cases, be just as helpful, if not more in some cases, than individual counseling, because that allows youth and families to be learning strategies and interventions together with other people, and it helps them see that they're not so alone in that, which is helpful.
Katie, what do you focus on in your counseling sessions?
Me personally?
Sure. You personally, in general, yeah.
Okay. Well, so really what we are always aiming for is to, you know, help people find solutions to the problems that they're stuck with. A lot of what we do, especially because our main point of contact, I should mention as well, is we do what are called talk-in or walk-in sessions. That changed again as a result of the pandemic. So now when people refer to the agency, whether that's, you know, a third-party referral from a doctor or a school, or they've referred themselves, they are set up for a counseling appointment, and that's their first point of contact. So some of those sessions end up being single sessions, and other times that can branch out into more ongoing service. So we often, you know, try to employ a real, like, a solution-focused approach to our work, right? Trying to really help a lot of families and kids that have been so stuck in the problem for so long see, you know, not only what the solutions could be, but also what they have already been doing that has been working. It's sometimes really hard to notice what you have actually already been successfully doing.
Right, right. Right? And so you're probably focusing more on their strengths and abilities,
exactly.
Right? And working from that perspective, are you?
Absolutely, okay. Absolutely. And that's at the end of the day, right? It's we all say this, but the work that our clients do and the things that really help them pull through in the end,
yes,
are often the things that they themselves are doing, that the families are doing, right? We mm-hmm. we explore it in the sessions.
Yeah.
We give them the tools to take it into their everyday life and, you know, make the change that they want to see from there.
That's great. How important is it for a child to know that Open Doors is there for them?
I think it's very important. And, you know, in a lot of cases, it makes a world of difference for the kids and the youth that we work with to know that they have a space where they can safely talk about what's going on for themselves and where, you know, they feel heard. Adults are very busy, and you know, also a lot of parents are scared, right? They don't want their kids to be going through, you know, things that make them feel so awful about themselves. So sometimes, even if, you know, this isn't their intent, parents can, you know, respond with fear and maybe not know what to do. And the child ends up feeling like, well, no one's listening to me. No one's getting me. And a big part of what we do is helping them be heard and then also helping the others in their life to hear them as well. So it's very, you know, important that they know that we're there, and youth can actually refer themselves to our services as well. And I think that is of huge benefit to them because it really lets them, you know, put that change in their own hands, where, you know, a lot of youth and teens don't necessarily feel like they get a lot of agency in their own lives.
Right. So, Katie, how would one avail themselves of your services if someone wanted to contact you? Give us all the details about that, please.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a few different ways. As I mentioned, there are third-party referrals. So sometimes when people are speaking to doctors or they've had a hospital visit, for example, they would send a third-party referral through to us. But aside from that, in terms of self-referral, there's several different ways. So at this point, anyone is always more than welcome to drop by our offices and speak to one of our admin face-to-face. So our office locations and addresses are all on our website. Our website is opendoors, all one word, .on.ca. On our website is also where you will find a self-referral form. So that one is all online. So some people find that, especially our teens, find that a little bit less daunting and a bit easier to use. You can just, you know, give us a brief background of what you're looking for and send in that self-referral form. And then we receive that, our admin receive that, and go ahead and set up a session, reach out and arrange the details. And you can also call in. So our website also has our phone number that we can be reached at. I know that the main office number for the Carleton Place location, where a lot of our referrals tend to come through, is 613-257-8260. And we're also available on social media. That's not necessarily a referral source, but a good point of interest to know that, you know, we post a lot on our Facebook. We're just Open Doors for Lanark Children and Youth. We're also on Instagram, Open Doors for Lanark Children and Youth. I think it's Open Doors CYMH. And again, our website provides a lot of updates and information about referrals, our programs, different groups we're running, et cetera.
That's great. Lots of ways to find you.
Lots of ways, yeah.
Well, I want to thank you very much for this wonderful work that you're doing.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, we all love what we're doing, and I think that makes a big difference. I'm privileged to help the youth and the families every day that I get to work with.
That's great. I want to thank you very much, Katie, for joining us today.
Yes, thank you so much, Linda, for this opportunity.
You're very welcome. Katie Torreson has been speaking about mental health support for children and youth in Lanark County, and she is a counselor with Open Doors. I'm Linda Dow. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend.